You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
Well, as we continue the being challenge together, that 40-day challenge to be like Jesus, to be in better relationship with God, today we want to look at that third keystone habit of Jesus, that we see that Jesus was regularly prioritizing prayer. All right, so far we've looked at two keystone habits. We've seen the importance of committing to community, noting that the people that we allow into our lives, they have influence over us, and so we want to surround ourselves with people who will point us in the right direction, who will point us to Jesus. And then the second keystone habit that we looked at really helped us to kind of look in on ourselves and look at who Jesus says, who God says that we are His children. And so we're reminded of our identity as we study the Scripture, as we see who God says that He is, and then who He says, as a result of that, who we are. And as we'll see today, and as many of you know, that any great relationship has great communication. Right, that's something that as I've been meeting with families or couples for premarital counseling, we want to talk about communication, and with communication, there's the conflict resolution piece, but really, we see how important communication is, how important it is to be able to have conversations with each other, to not just solve issues, but to grow in our relationships together. And as technology advances in communication, it can help us with communicating with each other's. But at the same time, it has its disadvantages, right? It's never been easier to communicate, but also it's never been more difficult to communicate, right? And we see that our world has changed, and communication in the world has changed. But what we don't see, it might seem like our world is worse than it ever has been, that it's more messy, that it's more broken than it ever has been. But I'd argue that that's not true. Because of social media and things like that, we can see that more readily. We can see the brokenness more quickly. But it's this world has always, since the fall of man, this world has always been broken. And just read the Old Testament, right? Read some of those stories if you want to see some brokenness. But what we see is that we just have so many options in ways to communicate, so many directions that we can move as individuals, as families. So wouldn't it be amazing in this confusing, option-filled world, wouldn't it be amazing if we could talk to someone who could help us, who could give us wisdom, and who could give us direction in our lives? Well, the amazing thing about God is that He gives us a tool to talk with Him, to cut through all of the confusion and chaos and to just be with Him. Right? And that's what prayer is. Right? Even in this rapidly changing world, God still communicates with us in prayer, just like He did with people thousands of years ago. God still communicates with His people today in prayer. And as we look at the life of Jesus, and we see in the four Gospels that there are nearly 50 times that Jesus either practiced prayer or taught on the importance of prayer. Right? Jesus is shown praying alone or praying in public. He's shown praying first thing in the morning or praying in the evening. He prays before meals and before important decisions, but before healings and after healings. Right, the way that Jesus prioritized prayer was so powerful that even His disciples were coming to Him saying, "Lord, teach us to pray." Right, the disciples, they'd prayed before in their lives, but there was something different about the way that Jesus communicated with God that they wanted that. They wanted to learn to grow in communication with God. And so again, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And that's where we get the words of the Lord's Prayer. And I'm really encouraged by this request of the disciples, because they've been with Jesus, they've been walking with Him, they've seen His communication, and they realize they need to grow. That's something that they need to do better in. And I'm encouraged by that request, because that's a request that I can have as well. It doesn't matter how long I've been in relationship with Jesus, I can grow in my prayer life, and you as well, you can grow in this area. But sometimes it can be really hard. Maybe you don't know what to do. Maybe you don't know what to say or where to start, right? How can you grow? Well, that's what this week is about as we go through week 3 of the Being Challenge. Today is day 20. So even if you've kind of fallen behind, I'd encourage you in your workbooks to jump back in to day 20 today as we prioritize prayer, as we learn, as we grow, as we practice what it means to prioritize prayer. But as we do that this week, before we get into that, I want to show you 4 things that we learn from the prayer habits of Jesus. First, we see that Jesus prayed early and often. Check out these couple verses from the life of Jesus. First, from Mark 1, verse 35. We see Jesus very early in the morning. While it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So very early in the morning. And then we see in Luke 5, verse 16, that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Right, throughout his life, we see Jesus praying alone, early, often, consistently. We see him praying in nature, in solitude, overnight. You name it, Jesus was praying. You get the sense that everywhere he went, he prayed. And he was in constant communication with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. Right, prayer was a priority in the life of Jesus at all times and in all circumstances. So my question for you today is, is prayer a priority in your life? Or is prayer that last resort? If I've exhausted all options, now maybe I'll turn to Jesus. That's what we sometimes see if we watch TV shows or sitcoms. You'll see I think it's the email scheduled for tomorrow, but I loved Boy Meets World growing up. And there were a couple times where we'd see one of the main characters pray, and I always got really excited, but then I thought, man, they've exhausted all options, and it's always this desperation. And it starts with, God, if you're there. And then usually what happens is the prayer request gets answered, but then there's no thanks. It gets answered, but then they're just like, oh, yay, it all worked out in my favor. But do we prioritize prayer or do we make it a last option in our lives? What are the habits in your life when it comes to talking with God, right? Because that's what prayer is. It's a communication that we have with God. You have a God who loves you so much that he wants to be in constant communication with you. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you so that you could be in relationship with him and communicate with him regularly. But why did Jesus pray? Why did he communicate with God so much? One of the things that we see is that Jesus prayed because he wanted help. Even Jesus was overwhelmed at times. And I know that sounds weird to say because Jesus was fully God, but at the same time, he was fully man. And one of the places that we see his humanity so clearly is right before his crucifixion. And we see this in Matthew 26, starting with verse 36. We see that then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. And then he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. And then going a little further, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Right, and then Jesus would actually repeat this prayer 3 different times, and the Gospel of Luke adds this detail in Luke 22, verses 43 and 44. We see that an angel from heaven appeared to Jesus and strengthened him. And then being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Right, Jesus was overwhelmed. His soul was overwhelmed. So when he was overwhelmed, he didn't try and take matters into his own hands. He prayed to the Father, and the Father, hearing his prayer, brought strength to him through an angel. Notice, and it's like we sang just a little bit ago with even if you don't answer my prayer the way I want it to be prayed, or the way I want you to answer it, even if, help me to know that you were there strengthening me. And that's exactly what happened in the life of Jesus. All right, the Father didn't answer Jesus' prayer by taking the cup away from him. Jesus still ended up going to the cross to die for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, but God did answer, the Father did answer the prayer by sending an angel to attend to him, to strengthen him for that task at hand. Right? We pray because we need God's help. We need him to intervene. We realize that we can't tackle this problem on our own. Really, when we pray, we're saying, God, I need you. And as you admit that you need God, you're saying two things. One, you're saying that, you know, I'm not God. And then two, you're saying, God, you are God. Let me put you in your place, in your throne. Let me put you first in my life. And then let you care for me in only the way that you can. Right? When you pray, you're praying because you're helpless. And you need God's strength. We don't like hearing that sometimes. We don't like feeling helpless. We don't like being helpless. But really, that's where we are. And God, who is able to help, comes and helps. So we pray that because we're helpless and we need God's strength, we also pray because we need direction. And Jesus did the same. He prayed for direction in his life. So question for you, and this is not rhetorical, so feel free to answer. If you needed to get somewhere, if you needed to drive somewhere that you've never been before, what would you do? What's the first thing that you do as you're getting in your car? Google Maps, GPS. How many of you like still pull out the AAA map and unfold it in front of you and drive with it completely covering your windshield, thinking that's the safer way than looking down at your phone? Okay. Right. I remember my dad doing that, and it just scared the snot out of me because I'm like, dude, how can you see where we're going? And he's like, well, we're going to, like, put it away. But I know, like, I rely a lot on my GPS. And a number of years ago, before I got a new phone, my GPS, and my wife is giving me this look. My GPS was awful. It would take us on the weirdest directions. My wife, we'd pull up the same phone, or we pull up our phones, we put in the same destination, and it would take us in two completely different directions. And I remember one night I was driving home from Ashland. It's a trip that I'd made a number of times, and I'm like, I rely too much on my GPS. I am going to put it away. I basically know where I'm going. Well, I basically knew where I was going because I knew the landmarks. Well, I was driving at night. And if you've ever driven home from Ashland through Mead, there are no lights. And you can't see any of the landmarks. So I'm driving, and I kind of feel like, you know what, I think I missed my turn. I think I missed something here. And so I pull up my GPS, I hit the home button, and my GPS says, well, take the next right turn. So I take the next right turn, and I get onto this nice gravel road, and I'm like, all right, I'm in the middle of the country, fine, I'm on a gravel road, we'll be fine. Well, soon that gravel road turns into a service road, a one lane, two tire tracks, driving through the middle of a cornfield service road, and it is pitch black. So you can probably picture me literally in the middle of cornfield, driving on this service road in a car that was not made to be driving on service roads, that sometimes I'm driving like this, and literally driving blind with my GPS. And so then the GPS says, turn right here, turn left here, turn right here, turn left here, turn right here. And eventually I turn left here, and it's now like a full gravel road. And then eventually, pavement. I found my way back to civilization. Hooray. And eventually I made it back to my destination, but it would have been a lot easier if my GPS just said, hey, you know what, turn around. Go back like a mile and stay on paved roads. But it just took me in the most random direction. And I wonder, you know, even though that we have some of the best of the world's guidance, you know, it can take us in the wrong direction. And I want to argue that some of us, even though we laugh at this story, and please feel free to laugh at me anytime, but many of us spiritually are doing the same thing. Where we want our destination to be the feet of Jesus, and yet we blindly follow the directions of this world. And can I ask you a really maybe difficult question? Why? Why do we follow the directions of this world? And that's not just like a rhetorical question. Really, why do we follow the ways of this world? What are we chasing after that the world has to offer that we so desperately want? Because there are some things in this world that might seem appealing on the outside, but following the world's direction will just make you a normal person. And you might think, well, that's nice. I like being normal. Well, let me tell you what normal is for people today. Evite says that the average American has not made a new friend in the last 5 years. Right? That's what it looks like to be normal. Cigna says that 61% of Americans are lonely, and this study was done before the pandemic. Right? That's what normal is, being lonely. 73% of people are in serious debt, according to Northwestern Mutual. Right? That's normal. Career Builder tells us that 78% of people live paycheck to paycheck. Gallup says that in the U.S., 70% of people working are unhappy, and they don't care at all about what it is that they do. Right? That's normal in America. And about half of marriages end in divorce in our country, which is the sixth worst in the world. Right? All of these statistics are the reasons that I'm not at all interested in being normal. Right? I want to be different. I want to challenge the status quo and tell you that there's a better way. Rather than following the ways of this world, why don't we follow God and His direction? And so how do we see that in the life of Jesus? Well, this is just one example, but we see Jesus praying to God the Father before making one of the biggest human decisions of His life. Which disciples should He choose? And we see this in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, where we see one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and He spent the night praying to God. Right? When you're making important decisions, you can access God and His infinite wisdom. James 1 says this. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. That wisdom will be given to you. Unlike your favorite GPS, it will never steer you in the wrong direction. All right, here's what I want to tell you today, that every day in this world is a reset. Every day the world will be coming after you, trying to draw you in, trying to get you to follow its guidance. And this is a confusing world with so many options. But rather than going to the things of this world, let's go to God. Let's make Him a priority. Like the first thing that we do every day, right? Priority. That's what that word means, the most important. And you really can't have like three priorities. That doesn't make sense. I know we've tried to make that word plural, but there's really only one priority. So let's make our relationship with God, our communication with God, our priority. Let's pray to Him first. Let's seek direction from Him first instead of trying to use that as a last result after we've tried everything else in our lives, because God gives us direction. He answers our prayers. And then also we pray because prayer changes the world. Right, the power of prayer is unbelievable. And so I would venture to guess that the reason that we might not prioritize prayer is we just don't understand how powerful it is. And so we don't make it a first thing in our lives. We might say that we believe in the power of prayer, but we don't always live it. And so let me ask you this question. Looking back at the last week of your life, if God answered every prayer request that you asked, that you wanted to be done, how would the world be different? Not how would your life be different, but how would the world be different today? And I think there's a lot of us, if we answered that question, it really, the world wouldn't be different. Maybe our lives would be different. But for me, every time before I get up to preach, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing to God. So if He answered that prayer request, great. You're hearing God's word, and it's having an impact in your life. The other ways, like if I look back on my week, the other ways that the world might be different is the Huskers would have won. That my kids would have done well in school this whole week. My wife would have had a great week. There would have been some surgeries that would have gone really well. There would have been some people who would have been healed. But nothing like big or crazy in this world would have happened most weeks. You know, if we were to look at our prayer requests, and that's sad, right? So think of it this way, right? Praying to God gives me direction in a confusing world. Praying to God as you pray to God, it gives you direction in a confusing world. We've said that. But at the same time, if we believe what the scriptures say about prayer, that my prayers, your prayers can bring direction into this world to those who need direction in their lives. Like your prayers can literally change the world, not just your life, but the world. And so if our prayers can change the world, why don't we prioritize prayer? And even Jesus said in John 14:14, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And James, the brother of Jesus, in James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So what does that mean for you today? It means that your prayers matter. It means that your prayers actually make a difference. It means that when we're in conversation and prayer with God, that we have the ability with Him to actually change the world. But the biggest question that I get when talking about prayer with people is simply usually one word: how? Right? How do I pray? Well, remember the disciples asked the exact same question. And how did Jesus respond? Right? They said, Lord, teach us to pray. How do we do this? And He taught them to pray by giving them what we call the Lord's Prayer. So you can use the Lord's Prayer. You can pray the Lord's Prayer. You can use it as a guide, right? And look at each of the petition and use that as a guide to springboard into personal prayers in your life. Or you can use maybe the word ACTS as an acronym. A-C-T-S, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication, right? We adore God. We praise God for who he is. We confess our sins to Him. We give thanksgiving for all the good things that He's done in our lives and the lives of those around us. And then supplication, we ask for needs to be fulfilled in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Or you can literally just pray the scriptures, right? Open up to the Psalms or open up to different places in the Bible and pray God's word back to Him that it would be done in your life. But you learn how to pray by praying, right? There's not one way, there's not a right way to pray. You learn to pray by praying. And so this week, that's what I'm going to encourage you to do, to dive into your workbook. And if you don't have one, let me know. We've got more available for you. We'd love to give you one so that you can be prioritizing prayer this week. You can put 7 different challenges into your life this week as you put that keystone habit of Jesus into your life, and it becomes a habit in your life and then flows out into other areas of our lives, right? Because as God gives us direction, as God gives us help in our life, as we see that direction, it changes how we live. So this week, prioritize prayer, because as you prioritize prayer, God changes you. And then your prayers might literally change the world. So this week, let's prioritize prayer.